We are thankful that our wise God has seen fit to establish our worship assemblies that gives us the opportunity to come together regardless of what is happening, to come together and find a place of solace where we can focus our attention upon Him for a little while and offer the due praise and worship unto Him. A lot can happen in a week. When I prepared the sermon for this morning, I was coming off of what happened last Sunday, little knowing the things that would occur before this particular Lord's Day. If you noticed a theme in the songs that we sang about light and sunlight, I want to talk about that this morning. If you were here last Sunday morning, you know why. I've been preaching 26 years. I've never had to preach in the dark before. That was an interesting experience for us to lose power as we did. But it got me to thinking about light, and I wanted to share some of those thoughts with you here this morning. There are several words and phrases and images that are used repeatedly throughout the Bible. And one of these is light, and the contrast between light and darkness. The first command that is given in the Bible is the creation of light in verse 3 of Genesis chapter 1. And at the very end of the Bible, the saved are reunited with the Father in heaven in an endless day where there is no night there. And in between these two beacons in our Bible, the imagery of light makes nearly 200 appearances. Light is a very fitting theme to be used in the Bible, and rightly so because of the physical qualities that are found with light. Light is matter. Those who study such things will tell us that light is matter. It is a part of this physical universe. And some qualities of light is, for one, it gives rulership over the universe. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 16, on the fourth day of creation, the sun, moon, and stars were created. And the purpose they served was to rule or to govern the periods of time in which they were found. The sun, the greater light, ruled during the day. The moon, the lesser light, with the stars, ruled during the night. But it gives rulership over the universe. Light also provides protection and safety. In Exodus chapter 13 and verse 21, when the children of Israel are preparing to leave Egypt and they'll be wandering in the wilderness, God goes before them as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, giving that protection and that safety. Physical light provides illumination. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 29, when the jailer is stopped from ending his life and told that all the prisoners are present in the jail, he calls for a light and he runs into the prison to investigate for himself. When we turn on the light, we can see, we can examine, we can learn. And we know as we study biology that sunlight is the source of life and maintaining life on this presence. Sunlight is essential for the process called photosynthesis, by which plants and algae have energy and their consumption provides to the food chain that provides for life for all on this planet. So light has some very definite physical qualities to it. And because of this, light, then, is properly used in the Bible to represent some spiritual blessings or some spiritual qualities. Light describes godly character. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, we are admonished to walk as children of light, as children of day. And that represents a godly character, goodness, and righteousness and truth, as opposed to those who walk in wickedness, in darkness in the world. We study often in the book of Ephesians at chapter 6, the armor of God and putting on the whole armor of God. In Romans 13 and verse 12, it's called the armor of light. And so that armor of God that is given to us is also that armor of light that is to be contrasted with the enemy, the works of darkness. We are to shine as lights in this world of darkness and sin. But light, the figure of light, also describes spiritual illumination that comes from embracing the truth. In Psalm 119 and verse 105, we learn there that God's word is a lamp. It is a light. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. But if you look down at verse 130 of this great psalm, Psalm 119 verse 130 says, "The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." And how much of a blessing it is whenever the lights come on. When you step into a dark room and you don't know what is there, you reach for that light switch. You want to light a flashlight. You get that flashlight app on your phone working. Why? Because you want to see what's in front of you. Last week when the power went out, our deacons reacted very quickly, and I appreciate that very much, opening up these doors. We had light coming from the laptop and coming from the emergency lights that were shining. But doors were opened up to get as much light in here as possible. And then 2 minutes after services were over, the lights came back on. And there was collectively a sense of, we could see. We could see our surroundings. We could see what was going on around us. The presence of light, the introduction of light, reveals everything before us, illuminates everything before us. That's exactly what God's Word does for us as we open it up and we read it and we study it. Things begin to make sense. This thing called life begins to make sense. We're not stumbling in the darkness of our opinions or reacting to the voices of those around about us. Instead, we have the light turned on. We know what life is about. We know what purpose the purpose of life is. We know where the dangers are hidden along life's pathway. So the figure of light is used to describe spiritual illumination and how important it is that we go to the Word of God and we're guided by Scripture. We know also the Bible tells us that God is the source of light. Not just physical light, but also spiritual light. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, John says that God is light. One of the ways that God is described as the very essence of light and all those qualities that we find associated with light physically are associated with God spiritually. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, this is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 16, deity dwells in unapproachable light. No human can see God and live. Why? Because the light of God's presence is unbearable for humans. We cannot stand to be in the presence of such glory, of such light. James chapter 1 and verse 17 refers to God as the Father of lights. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. There are no dark clouds in God's character. There are no cloudy days. There is no darkness there. There's no shadow there. God is consistent. He is always pure and always holy and always love, always light. And God created light. The creation of light was His first command. Here's an interesting thing about light, physical light, and its connection with God. Pagans worship light. It's not uncommon to look at ancient civilizations, look at paganism, idolatry, and oftentimes it's one of their gods, at least, is associated with the sun. Another one's associated with the moon. In ancient Egypt, Ra was the sun god, right? Every civilization had a god for the sun. Paganism worships light. We are here this morning to worship the creator of light, the one who created light and sustains light. That's why we're here today, worshiping our God. Everything has to have a beginning. Everything in this physical universe has a beginning. God is the source of light. And we're going to look in just a moment at that first command, let there be light. But what I want to do, I want to spend the remainder of our time this morning, I want us to look at four significant let there be light moments. Four significant moments in which light is introduced. And we're going to start with creation, but as we go on, we're going to notice that these become even more personal to us. So we were in need of light last week. We understand the importance of light. What are some let there be light moments that have occurred in the history of this world and in our lives? First, of course, is the introduction of light at the creation. Back to the very beginning, Genesis chapter 1, looking at verses 2 through 4. Genesis chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, we know that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. I want you to notice that there was a purpose for this command. Before light was created, God's creation was shrouded in darkness, and that darkness needed to be dispelled. The command and the creation of light actually brought order to God's creation, dispelling that darkness. And the light and the darkness were separated from one another to give us our most basic measurement of time, thus giving order to God's creation, night and day, darkness and light. And notice also in verse 4 that God saw the light that He had created, and He said that it was good. And that light governed this world and continues to govern this world in giving us our concept of time, days, and nights. And we've already mentioned that sunlight sustains life on this planet. It's all traced back to that first let there be light moment. Physical light became a reality, and we're all dependent upon it. But there's a second let there be light moment we can read of in the Bible. And that is the incarnation of Jesus. The birth of Jesus recorded in the Gospel of Matthew has Him referred to as Jesus and as Emmanuel, God with us. But the Apostle John, when he's inspired by the Holy Spirit to write his account of the life of Christ, Jesus is introduced to this world as the light. In John chapter 1 and at verse 7, this man came for a witness. Now, this is talking of John the Baptist. This man came as a witness to bear witness of the light. And all through him, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That light, that was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. What John tells us here at the very beginning of this gospel is that the purpose for Jesus coming into this world was to give spiritual light, spiritual illumination to all of mankind. He is the light of the world. Jesus fulfilled the work that God had appointed for the Messiah to do in preaching the gospel to those who were lost. The prophecy found in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2 is quoted by Matthew in Matthew chapter 4. Whenever whenever Matthew begins to tell of our Lord's mission, as he begins to go and to preach, he says the beginning of the preaching of Jesus fulfills this prophecy. The prophecy is quoted here in verse 16 of Matthew 4. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. You see, when Jesus began preaching, the light dawned. And the people who were in Galilee, who were the first ones to hear his preaching, they were sitting in darkness. Remember, there was the 400 years of silence. They were sitting in darkness, and then the light dawned. Jesus began to preach. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus coming into this world was the entrance of light, true light, into this world. But without even looking at John's account, we have the birth of Jesus. In Luke chapter 2, remember the angel appeared to the shepherds the night that Jesus was born in glory, in light. And the Magi, they traveled from the east following what? A star, following light. Light was used in announcing the birth of Christ and bringing people to Christ after his birth. He is the light of the world. In John chapter 8 and verse 17, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." This is one of the I am statements of Jesus found in the Gospel of John. The light of the world, the one that brings illumination to the world, the one that shows us what is right and what is true before us. We can walk into a dark room and maybe we can try to make out how that room is laid out and where furniture is at and how we could get around in that room. We turn on the light and we can see. Man was in darkness until Jesus came, and Jesus shined the light to show us how to get back home to the Father. He came as that light. Now, not everyone appreciates that light. Not everyone appreciates the light that Jesus shines in this world. In John chapter 3, when Nicodemus comes to Jesus, he comes at night. He is a high-ranking Jew. He is a part of the Sanhedrin Council. It wouldn't be a great thing for him to be caught talking to Jesus. He goes to Jesus at night. And Jesus picks up on this idea of darkness and night, and him being the light as he talks to Nicodemus. John at chapter 3, verse 19, "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God." Some people enjoy living in sin, and they don't appreciate the light of the truth of God's Word being shined upon their lives. They don't appreciate the fact that you and I worship God. And as long as we do that here in this building by ourselves, well, they're okay with that. They can tolerate that. But they sure don't want us coming and talking to them and shining light on their life and pointing out the truth of God's Word to them and showing them where the dangers are before them, warning them of the consequences of their sin. No, they don't appreciate that at all, but they didn't appreciate Jesus either. He is the light of this world. He is the one that shines and shows the way back to the Father. I want to suggest to you that as important as sunlight is and physical light is to our existence in this physical world, the light that was introduced at the birth of Christ is of much greater value to us than the light that was introduced on the first day of creation. Both of them are necessary, but only one of them will get us home. And that is the light of Jesus Christ. There's a third "let there be light" moment that needs to occur in our lives. As I said, we're going to get more personal as we go along. The introduction of light at our conversion. That is a let there be light moment. In the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 3 through 6, the Apostle Paul, in the book of 2 Corinthians, is defending his apostleship. Defending why it is that he's doing the things that he's doing. He's not doing it for money. He's not doing it for the acclaim. He's not doing it to get the Corinthians to be his personal followers. Then Paul, why are you doing it? To save souls. That's why he's doing it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, whose minds, that is those who are lost, those that Paul desperately wants to be saved, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now these verses are somewhat wordy, but the message here is plain, so let's dig into it, and let's see the point that Paul is making here. Paul wants all men to be saved, but there are some who are not saved because the god of this age, Satan, doesn't want them to be saved. He doesn't want anyone hearing the gospel, and so their eyes are blinded to the light. Satan continually places before them the enjoyment of sin, or the error of false doctrine, or the complacency of indifference. Satan has many ways of blinding the eyes of those who are lost, and it's not done against their power. They prefer to be blind. They prefer to be in darkness, and Satan provides that which blinds their eyes. Because he knows what can happen if they see the light. It's through the preaching of the gospel that the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ can shine upon them. And this same God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, verse 6 in Genesis chapter 1, that same God can shine the light out of darkness upon them through the preaching of the gospel. And if they will only hear it, and they will only heed it, and they will only obey it, they can come out of darkness and they can be in light. You see, the moment that you and I came to understand and to believe and to obey the gospel, that was our let there be light moment. That was the moment that we went from living in darkness to dwelling in the kingdom of light. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 says that the gospel calls us out of darkness into his marvelous light. This same apostle Paul who wrote in 2 Corinthians about his purpose for preaching the gospel, also told King Agrippa of his call to be an apostle. In Acts chapter 26 and at verse 18, the apostle Paul quotes the Lord as telling him that he is going to be sent to the Gentiles, notice, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. You see, the moment a person is converted to Christ, the moment a person learns, accepts, and obeys the truth, the moment a person comes forth from the watery grave of baptism, that is their personal let there be light moment. And if you've not experienced that, you need to experience it. Because as great as that first let there be light moment was, the first day of creation, and as great as the second let there be light moment was, the day that Jesus was born, It will mean nothing unless you have your let there be light moment and you become a Christian. Why not do that today? But there's a fourth. There's a fourth let there be light moment that needs to happen in the life of every Christian. And that is when we decide that we are going to start living for Jesus. When we decide that we're going to take the teachings, the commands of Christ, and we're going to start living them openly in our lives, that can be referred to as a let there be light moment. In Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says that we are the salt of the earth and then says that we are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. I want to give a shout out to Ryan's invitation on Wednesday night. Hide it under a bushel? No. We need to let that light shine. And when we decide that we're going to live openly for Jesus, and we're going to obey His commands, and it's verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. When we decide we're going to do those good works that God created for us to do, our light begins to shine. And that is a let there be light moment. And that's a moment that not only do we need to experience, but that's a moment that the world around us needs to have happen and needs to experience. The thing about the moon and the moon at night, we just had a full moon this past week. The moon does not generate any light at all. The moon simply reflects the light of the sun back upon the darkened side of this earth. And that's exactly what you and I do. The moment that we decide we're going to live what we have learned, and that we're going to truly walk by faith and implement the teachings of Christ openly in our life, we begin to reflect the sunlight, S-O-N light, into this dark world. It's not our light. It's the light that has come from Jesus Christ through His teachings. Last week, when the lights were out and we were in the dark, I don't know what it looked like from where you were sitting. There was the glow that came from the laptop. There were the lights that were found around about. But when I looked out, I could see the glow of tablets. I could see some individual. That's why I made that point. Look at these verses here. Some of you, you've got your tablets open. You're following along. I could see the glow of tablets. I could see the glow of cell phones. I could see some of the flashlights that had been turned on. This world has become a very dark and confused and turbulent place over this past week. I was just asking Jason Blackaby before services started this morning, can we survive without sports? We're going to find out. We're going to find out. It's a very troubling, a very upsetting time. You know what the world needs? The world needs us letting our light shine. Right now, the world needs to see that glow, that there's a place that I can go to. There's a person who is walking by faith. There's a person that has some stability. There's a person that has some confidence. There's a person that has not been swayed or swerved from what they are doing in their life. I tell you, it's during times like this that if we are living what we've learned, our light will shine. This isn't the best week for us to go door knocking. People aren't going to answer their doors. But this is the week for us to be letting our light shine. Because people need to see it. And they're going to be looking for it. And you and I, if we haven't done so yet, we need to have this let there be light moment. We need to be letting our light shine before others. That doesn't mean put on a fake smile and act like the troubles in our lives don't exist. Now, that's not walking by faith. There's nothing fake about faith. That means you and I are standing upon what we know is true. And we know that God is still on His throne and He's still in control of this world. And we can rest in that. We can be confident in that. We can be calm in that. And we can let our light shine. Let's not hide it under a bushel. Like that city that is set on the hill, let's let our light shine. Paul writes in Philippians 2, verses 14 and 15, "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." Are we shining as lights in the world? Are we showing the pathway back home? Are we showing that we have been saved in the blood of Jesus Christ and that we are living and walking by faith? If not, we need to be. We thank God for these let there be life light moments. In the beginning, when physical light was created, obviously in the incarnation, when Jesus came into this world with that body that could die so our sins could be washed away, that let there be light moment when you became a Christian, and that let there be light moment when you decided to live for Christ. If you've not done that, you need to do it. If you're ready to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, understanding what you have to do and responding appropriately, we'd be glad to assist you with that. If you need our prayers and our encouragement, we'd be glad to assist you as well. Whatever your need is, let it be made known by coming forward as we stand and sing this invitation song.